Come before you, because we are meeting here to worship thee, to learn of thee, to learn of your word, and Father, to worship thee. And we would ask, as we meet together here, that we would be like James told us, that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. And so, Father, this night, may your Holy Spirit minister to each of us. May your will be done in each of our lives. And we will praise you, Father, for all the things that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. There are times when things get broken or things get bent or things get out of whack and they need fixing. And so many times, we rush right on in there and try and fix them ourselves. And just make more of a mess of a situation. So, I would like for us to look at James 1 tonight. James 1, 17 and 18. That'll be our jumping off point. James 1, 17 and 18 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turnings. God does not change. God does not change his standards or his commands. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James 1, 17 and 18. Have you ever had a situation develop that caused you to be angry or disappointed? Of course we have. I have, and my first response is to want to charge in and straighten things out. But the problem is that I would only make a worse mess of things. You and I are not wise enough to fix a problem when it affects us, or a brother or a sister when they are infected by a problem in the Lord. I've learned to take the situation to the Lord and let him fix it. It might involve another person's heart or emotions or pride, but it's not anything that I'm able to fix. I can't fix those things. I cannot touch another person's heart. We need to think about who God is and what he can fix. None of us can change the internal things in a person's life. If someone is angry with me or they have bad feelings against me, I can't fix that. All I can do is remember that what God said in his word and do what God said to do. In the case of an offense by another person, I have to follow Matthew 18:15. I have to go to them and tell them that I have been offended and in what way. There's no other fix in the Bible. Matthew 18:15 tells us, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, I would expect others to do the same thing with me, because that's the way the Bible tells us to do. But many Christians refuse to obey God's command. Now, the Bible doesn't say, go and tell as many others as you can and discuss it among yourselves and make a bigger mess of things. No. The Bible says to go to the offending brother or sister and tell them. And you see, one of the larger problems in the church is forgiveness. If people would forgive each other immediately, the problem would go away. It's very difficult to take offense to something that has been forgiven. It's hard to argue with a man that agrees with you. Jesus said that is what has to be done when offenses occur. Keep in mind that this is what Jesus said. The Christian is supposed to obey Jesus. And if they don't or can't, there's a serious problem with their heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So I keep that in mind as I go through life, especially lately. And if someone offends me, I forgive them immediately. It doesn't need any discussion. It's just a fact that they're forgiven and everything is okay. I do want to say that this is an area that someone might be having a problem with. Go to the Lord with expectations of a solution and ask the Lord to fix things. He will do it. I've seen him do it. Letting a problem fester in your heart when it could be easily fixed is a sin and is permitting the devil to gain a victory over God's will. We don't need to help the devil. He has all the power that he needs. We need to resist the devil and he will flee from us. That's what we are told in the little epistle of James. James 4, 7 through 12. James 4, 7 through 12. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We talked about this last week a little bit, about going to the Lord with our problems and turning them over to him. Verse 11 tells us, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that you judgest another?" You know, our pride is so deceitful when it comes to judging others. What did Jeremiah say about our hearts? Jeremiah had a comment on our hearts in chapter 17, verse 9, when he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When I look at my heart, I see what Jeremiah was talking about. And I try and respond properly every time. None of us want to acknowledge that we have wicked hearts. But that's what the Bible tells us. And if we're totally forgiving of all offenses toward ourselves, we will not have any occasion where we take offense or actions that would hurt others. Right now, our church is trying to do what the Lord wants us to do with regard to merging with another church of like precious faith. We're also out at the fair, going out to the fair and passing out gospel tracts in an attempt to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be out there a total of 11 days, all day long, passing out gospel tracts. I don't know how many hundreds of gospel tracts we'll pass out, but we'll pass out many hundreds in those days. I know that Saul and I passed out 175 on Thursday. And we passed out four Bibles. We had four people ask us for Bibles. If we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, do you think the devil's going to be happy with that? He's not. And he's going to do anything he can to disrupt our effort, because it is our effort that we're trying to serve the Lord. And the devil is aware of that, and he is going to intervene. If we have other things that we're thinking about, we won't have time to do the things that amount to things, like passing out gospel tracts. The devil's going to use people to affect us. He's going to get people to divert our attention away from what we are planning on and working on. He'll probably use some of our church family to confuse or our direction of movement. It's evident to some of our people that there are things going on that are not according to the will of God. They're things that are contrary to God's word. We must all be careful to walk in the Spirit as we have been directed by the Spirit. To do anything else would be sin, because we'd be going against the will of God. People, the Holy Spirit of God knows everything that's going on. I've had different people come to me and inquire about the disturbance that they feel in our church. They're listening to the Holy Spirit, and he's telling them that there are people whose hearts are not quite right with the Lord. Those people who are sinning are not doing what the Lord has said that they should do, and this is affecting our unity and our peace. Those people are deliberately sinning against the entire church family. And that is wicked, and it does not help us to follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit. They should stop what they are doing right now and seek forgiveness from the Lord, and then make peace with the individuals that are involved in their problem. I want us to look at two verses in Timothy, 2 Timothy, for our solution to the problem. They're verses that we closed with the service with this morning. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says it's profitable. It can add to the situation. It does not detract from the situation. And then it goes on in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is a time when we all need good works within our church family. Each of us needs to be as perfect as we can be under the power of God. Disobedience to the Word of God is not spiritually healthy to this offending one. And disobedience to the Word of God is disruptive to the church family. It would be better for that person to actually leave the church until they get their heart right than to disrupt the unity needed to serve God according to his will. The sin of one family member hurts the whole family. It all comes down to this: either make up your mind to obey or to disobey the command of God when he said in James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, a lot of folks think that they can get by without doing what God has told us to do, but they are deceiving themselves. And that is the worst person to deceive is yourself. If you decide to obey, go find and if you're not going to obey, go find another church that you can disrupt. We are busy enough with the devil's attacks without someone taking sides with the devil. I'm saddened by strong brothers and sisters in Christ yielding to the pride and doing damage to the church family because they are being deceived by their own hearts. I know that I am no exception to having a deceitful heart. I do have a deceitful heart. We all do. Jeremiah said we did. I wonder why they don't see the deception of their own heart. Their own conscience should be convicting them that they are doing wrong. It's frightening just how quickly a person doing several good things can be turned so quickly out of the way. God has given us His Word to be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And that is how it was referred to in the Psalms. The verse of Scripture that puts it the other way around in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There have been times when my pride has gotten involved and I've acted like God needed my help fixing a situation. Do you think that God needs your help to fix a situation? Gabrielle and I had decided last night that we were going to sleep in this morning because this has been a difficult week, a very rough week. And a few minutes after 6, our telephone rang. She got up and got it. It was a truck driver friend of mine who was having a problem. And he was out west, and he wanted to talk, and he talked for 40 minutes about that problem. I'm so glad that people know to turn to God or turn to someone who knows something about what the Lord wants, that they can talk to Him, and that I had that opportunity to talk to Him. I think I'll take the opportunity to turn the problem that I'm talking about over to the Lord and stay out of the way so that He can fix it. There's a problem with that. I find it in my own life. You may find the same thing in your life. We don't like to let go of things. We like to keep a handle on them, thinking that we can fix it, that we know more than God. And God has given us a couple of verses to deal with that. And I'm very much aware of these two verses because I keep repeating them to myself. Psalm 46, 10 and 11. Psalm 46, 10 and 11 tells us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I like that, the way that passage of Scripture ends with the word Selah. That word Selah means to pause and think about it. So I'm going to pause and give some thought to the problem. I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to think and pray about it and let God do what He's going to do. I can think of a question that might naturally come up about the problem that God permits to come into our lives. Why does God permit problems to come into our lives? I can think of two reasons. That God permits problems to come into our lives is become a part of our life. One is that he's molding us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. The second reason is that we meddle in things that are not our business, and God has to cause a problem to get us to clear the situation with and let him fix it. You see, most of our problems are self-inflicted. Most of our problems are self-inflicted. We meddle with a situation that we have no business meddling with, and it creates a problem for us. Forgiveness is a must and should be priority for all who love Jesus. There is no room for vengeance or retaliation on the part of the Christian believer. God has stated his position quite clearly. Romans 12, 19 through 21. Paul tells us on behalf of God, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, we have to be careful with this verse. Sometimes we think, well, what can I do to be nice to this person? And have God bring all this vengeance into their lives. And that's the wrong way to approach it. We want to approach it from the standpoint of God wants us not to avenge ourselves in any way, not hoping that he will take care of things. Now, I've discussed this kind of a situation with several of our deacons, and one thing has become very apparent. People are not following or obeying what God has commanded for us to do when offenses occur. Let's look at what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 18. Turn to Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. Now, this was Jesus talking. It was not me. It was not some other man. It was Jesus giving us the solution for all of our problems. And in Matthew 18:15, we are told, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." God does not want us fighting amongst ourselves. He has given us a clear plan, chain of command. And I want to point out one very important and vital thing. Jesus establishes a chain of command in these three verses, and he starts with two individuals, no more. If a problem does exist, then it's to be handled between those two people, no one else. The moment that either one of the two parties talk about the offense to anyone else, The one doing the talking is guilty of gossip, and they are sinning against God. Do you see that little word at the end of the beginning of the command? The word is alone. It means that you are to go to the person that offended you by yourself. You are not to talk it over with anyone else other than God, and you're to do all that you can to resolve the situation. The multitude that you bring, the minute that you bring anybody else into the situation, you're involving them in a sin because they have no part in the offense. There is a biblical principle. It is not a particular verse. I can't give you a chapter and verse, but it is a principle within the scripture itself that none of us take up another person's offense, because there is no way to resolve that offense once it is taken. You can go to the person that was offended, resolve it with them, but the person who takes up another person's offense has no way to have it resolved, and the person offending does not know they need to resolve it. Excuse me. If you cannot be successful in resolving the situation, then take two others with you to establish what is said. If that does not settle it, then present your complaint to the church. If it does not involve sexual immorality. Sexual immorality needs to be handled by the church officers and not published socially. The person taking up another person's offense can never be satisfied because no one has actually offended them. Who are they going to approach? I know of men who have had to leave a ministry because of some inconsequential offense that was never forgiven and was gossiped about. The person's ministry for the Lord was destroyed because of gossip that never followed what the Lord told us to do, and it festered until the deacons felt that it would be better for the minister to leave rather than split the church. The church went downhill after that because one person chose to serve the devil rather than God. Some of you know the individual I'm talking about. You didn't know what took place. So people, if you experience an offense, go to the person while it can be taken care of with a retraction or an apology and before the gossip gets started. I can tell you right now by the authority of God's word that the gossip will not be blessed by God, and they will do irreparable harm to the other members of the church family. I would rather see that person leave in a huff than to have the church infected by their malicious gossip. Someday, the person who gossips will have to give account at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ, and we are told that in God's word, that we will give account of every idle word before the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. So people, if you have an offense, don't be afraid to go to somebody. Tell them about it. Tell them about it right away so that it can be resolved right away and it won't stay there and fester and become more involved, and other people will get involved in it too. This is just, the devil is using this type of thing to destroy so many churches. And I believe that right now is a very important time in our church that we do right, because we're getting ready to, we're considering the combining of our church with another church. And that is for the benefit of both churches. It's not for the benefit of one church or the other. There may be some, and I think there may be, people who do not want think that that's a wise thing to do. But people, this church has been getting smaller over the last few years because our people have been dying off. and we need new people. Now, we're trying to get some people out at the fairgrounds, but whether or not we're successful, we have a means of combining with another church that will give us strength. It's like a pack of twigs. You take one twig, it's easy to break. You take a whole bundle of them, and it's hard to break. So what we're doing is we're looking at the future of this church as going on for the Lord and doing things for the Lord that the Lord has said we're to do. That's why we're out at the fair. It's not a time of leisure and enjoyment out there, as Linda can tell you. You're going to be out there for maybe 6 hours or 7 hours or 8 hours. Or in the case of Gabby and I, we're going to be out there for 13 hours next Saturday. And so we're reaching out for the Lord. We're doing this for the Lord. We're not doing this for us. We're doing this for the Lord. And so we need to all pull together. All of us pull together for the Lord, for the sake of the Lord, that we need to have unity. We need to do, if there's anything amiss, it needs to be resolved and taken care of. And that's what the Bible tells us. And we're doing what God says to do when we do that. But if we don't take care of it, then we are not doing what God said. We're not doing what James said. James told us in James 1:8, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And so that's an important aspect of serving the Lord, is obeying his word and doing everything. I'm sorry, it was not James 1, it was James 14. Let me see here.
James
4. James 8, 1:8 is a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
James 4.
Oh, it's verse 22 of chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We don't want anyone here deceived. We want everyone to know what the truth is, to experience the truth, to live in the truth. And so we need to get everything settled that where there's any offense at all, it needs to be settled. And as far as I know, everybody's had their shots and nobody bites. And so that is not a problem. We talk to a lot of folks out there at the fair, and some of them might actually come here. Any questions or any comments?
So what was the last verse you said about... I'm looking on James 1 right now.
James 1:21. James 1:22. 1:22.
22. Okay, gotcha.
I know we're early tonight. I'm not feeling so hot, so. Any questions? Any comments?
Pastor, I just want to say that I think a lot of times, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school, about, you know, the Holy Spirit working among us. But there's times I know the devil is going to do all that he can, like you said earlier, to try to stop. And yep. If we don't put on the armor of God every day, we know the devil is going to, he's going to get in there. And I think all of us at times try to tell the Lord what to do. I know I've done it many, many times. And I said, Lord, you know this is gonna, if you do this and this and this, this is going to happen. This is the way it should be. And God has shown me, no, you have to lean on me. You have to trust me. Well, it's hard for us as Christians is to wait on the Lord and let him work when we want to handle it ourselves. And I've done that. I am guilty.
There are times when we don't feel like the Lord knows how important it is. And so we need to get involved and get it done and get it fixed. when he's fixing it his own way, and he has the best way to fix it. And that's why he tells us to be still and know that he is God. And that he is a discerner of the thoughts of people's hearts. He discerns that, and he plans for that. He works it out so that they can change their minds and come back into fellowship with him. Last song.
Turning units 196, 196.
Sure.
Trust and obey.